Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m., here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington. Good morning. We welcome you to First Christian Church. We're so glad that you've chosen to worship here with us today. I'm Dave Yonker. I'm a senior pastor, and it's my pleasure to welcome you all to church. And so we're so glad that you are here with us this morning. We welcome our friends who are also joining us virtually online through Facebook Live and also through our church website. We're glad that you're a part of our church family today from wherever you are and whatever's going on in your life today. We're glad that you've taken time to worship here on this beautiful Sunday morning. As we're gathered for worship, we invite you to take out your worship bulletin that you received on the way in the main doors this morning. And on the right-hand side, you'll find a little tear-off sheet that says connect at the very top. So you are invited to tear it off now and connect with us by filling it out. You can also jot down on the backside prayer concerns if there are things in your life that we can be praying for right along with you. You can also jot down praises if you have those in your life. And you can tick one of those boxes if you'd like to know more information about growing in your faith here through our congregation. And after you fill it out, you can drop it in the offering baskets that our ushers will pass later on in our worship service today. For our friends who are joining us virtually, you're invited to go to our church website, burlingtondoc.org. You can download a copy of today's worship bulletin, and you can follow along with us from home today. If you take a look at the back side of your bulletin, you see things that are happening in the life of our church today and throughout this coming week. As you are going there, Pastor Brooke is away today unexpectedly with a sick kiddo at home, and so we miss her today, but we look forward to seeing her back in church throughout the week. Tonight is the final night of our Spark Children's Ministry for the season before a little Christmas break. The kids are going to have a little concert here in the sanctuary at 5:45, and then a special visitor from the North Pole is arriving after the concert, and so we look forward to a great night of Spark and Blaze here this evening. Also today, maybe you see the note inside your bulletin, is one of our inserts that we're receiving our over and above Christmas offering. This offering directly supports the ministry of the Disciples of Christ in the Upper Midwest region. So what that means is that our offering that we receive here helps support the church camp that our kids go to up in Newton, Iowa. It helps support our regional pastors as they serve us and they serve lots of other churches around our region. And so you can make a gift in the offering envelope in your bulletin, or you can go to our church website and you can give your gift online there. In the season of Advent, we have Tuesday evening worship services that are short little times to kind of center our hearts and minds on the reason for this season. And so we had our first one last Tuesday night, and our second one is this Tuesday at 6 o'clock, just 30 minutes long here in the sanctuary, and then we have a soup supper to follow in the fellowship hall. We had a great crowd last Tuesday night, and so we hope that you will come and join us for worship this Tuesday as well. Thanks to everybody who attended our congregational meeting last Sunday. We passed our budget and our officers and leaders, and we passed our capital campaign. All three of those passed with flying colors. So we give thanks and praise to God, and you'll be hearing more about this in the next few weeks to come. A couple more. Next Sunday is our annual choir cantata, and we're going to have our Sunday school kids are going to be singing in both services next week, and so both services will be exactly the same. If you come at 8:30 or come at 10:30, our choir has a wonderful presentation for us during the sermon time, and so we look forward to that next Sunday. Lastly, we're looking forward to, and we know that you are as well, about Christmas Eve here at First Christian Church. Christmas Eve, as I'm sure you've noticed, is a Sunday this year. And so what it looks like is this. Our morning services on Christmas Eve are the fourth Sunday in Advent. And so they are the same wonderful Advent services that we've been enjoying so far. And so we'll have worship at 8:30 and at 10:30 on Christmas Eve in the morning. And then we have two services in the evening. We have our traditional service at 5 o'clock. We have a turkey noodle dinner at 6 o'clock that you can sign up for on the sign-up sheet by the Welcome Center. And then we have at 7 o'clock our contemporary Christmas Eve service. Both of the evening services have candlelight and have communion, and they're going to be a great time together. You don't have to come to all four, but you get bonus points for coming to all four services, an extra star on your crown for coming to every service on Christmas Eve. But it'll be a full and rich day, and we look forward to being in worship together. If you know someone in your life who's looking for a church home or would like to worship with us on Christmas Eve, there are invitations at the Welcome Center. They're small little postcards. We hope you'll pick one up after church today. Certainly, there are folks in our life who may not worship on a regular basis, and so we hope that they will worship with us here at First Christian Church. Lots of wonderful things going on in our life together, and so we're so grateful for this time to set them all aside and experience the good news of Jesus Christ alive in our life. In this season of Advent, we gather around the Advent wreath for the lighting of our Advent candles. So the Gerdes family is coming forward, and they're going to lead us in the Advent wreath. You can find the words on the screen or also printed in your bulletin.
On this chilly morning, we gather into the warmth of Most Holy God's presence. We join with Christians around the world to reflect on this Advent season and to look with anticipation to the coming of the Christ child. We gather as a people of peace. The world shows us a way towards self-satisfaction and looking out for our own interest, but we are called to be shaped not by the world's culture, but by our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are a people of peace. Today we light the second Advent candle, the candle that represents peace. Having reflected on the hope shown in the first candle, today we consider the peace with which Christ lived his life and the peace to which we are called. We reestablish our hope in our Savior, and we commit ourselves to peace this day. We look forward with anticipation to the birth of Christ, the perfect peacemaker. We are a people of peace.
Pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you for always being right beside us. Allow your words we hear today give us the reminder that we shall have peace in you. Allow us this week to pass your peace on to others. You are an inspiration to us. Allow us to be an inspiration to others. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
How good and wonderful it is to be together as the body of Christ, to hear God's word read in the midst of worship. And so our first reading today comes from Psalm 85, verses 1 and 2, and then 8 and 13. Lord, you are favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people, and you pardoned all of their sin. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to them in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and will make a path for his steps. May God bless this reading of God's holy word here today. We now invite the kids of our church to come down forward and meet Pastor Annika for today's children's moment.
Good morning. How are you all doing? That's great. How many of you have gone to the grocery store with maybe your parents or grandparents? Yeah. Have you ever wandered the aisles and heard an adult say, "Where on earth is this item?" Have you heard someone say that? Yeah. Maybe you've heard them saying it right as they walk in the front doors of the grocery store. Oh boy, have they done some major rearranging. This is going to be fun. There's not many items on your list, but you talk about wandering the aisles. It's like you need a map. This aisle was here, aisle 6 is now aisle 3, and aisle 3 is now aisle 5, which now faces the cash registers. You cannot find anything. However, right before the point of breakdown of frustration, a kind and caring worker walks up to you and says, "Can I help you find something today?" You say, "Yes, I need the Breyers mint chocolate chip ice cream and the popcorn kernels." The clerk tells you that they turned aisle 1 into aisle 4, and the ice cream is down here. They gladly walk you to the correct aisle and point you to that Breyers mint chocolate chip ice cream that you had to have. You kindly turn to them and thank them for their time, and on to the checkout line you go. Now you're probably asking what the grocery store has to do with their scripture. Well, John the Baptist appeared to those lost in the wilderness. They were wandering around between the trees. He told them to repent for their sins, for they have done wrong. You made some wrong turns, so what you need to do is turn around and go the other direction. John is like the grocery store clerk. He is telling us to follow this direction because it is where Jesus wants us to go. We can be like John and help direct our friends and family towards Jesus. When we see that someone is lost, we can tell them we all get lost. We just need to turn around and keep going that direction. For the path will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, just as it says in Mark chapter 1, verse 8. So this week, if you find a friend or family member that's lost, tell them it's okay to be lost. But Jesus is always right there, and if we turn the other direction, we will be on the right path. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we know we all get lost. We are thankful for people like John the Baptist who can help guide us back to you. Please forgive us when we get lost. We need your love and support every day. Allow us to have a great week. In your name we pray. Amen.
As we approach Christmas, let us remember the true meaning of the holiday. We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, who came into this world to bring us salvation. It is in the spirit of giving and love that we should also approach our giving of tithes and offerings. Just as the wise men brought the gifts to the newborn king, we too can show our gratitude and devotion by giving back to the church and reaching out to those in need. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. The ushers will now distribute the baskets for offering and then collect them at the end of each row.
God of peace, please bless these gifts. We give thanks for the ways that you bless us, and we return these material gifts to you to share our love and devotion to you and your church. We pray that these gifts would expand your kingdom here on earth. This joyous season, God of peace, puts many demands on our lives. We pray that you would help us to slow down. Open our hearts and our eyes that we may see the beauty of this season. Feel the joy of hope and peace alive within us and live our days in celebration. We come before you with hearts seeking to know and understand the words of the prophets, the words of your scripture, and the words of peace that rise around us this holy season. We pray that you will open us to the meaning of peace, that you will teach us the way of peace, and that you will indeed understand your will for justice for all of your world. Help us to be faithful to the call that you have put on our hearts to live as people of peace. Let there be peace upon the earth, and let us be bearers of it. We give you thanks for this rich and beautiful church season. Even as we take this time to quiet ourselves and reflect on your gifts, we recognize that so many are struggling with illness, hospitalizations, and chronic conditions. Some mundane and some severe, but all are difficult. We pray for your divine healing wherever possible, but we also pray for your comfort and love to shine through all circumstances. We know we cannot always get our hoped-for outcomes, and so we pray that your peace would live strongly in our hearts and in our hearts to trust your way and to have peace in whatever comes. God, we also lift to you family strains and relationship struggles. This time of year can bring those challenges to surface, and so we pray for your divine guidance and wisdom to sort through hurt feelings, to speak words of forgiveness and kindness, and to reconcile relationships when we are able. Shine your grace upon our earthly relationships. Give us grace and hope to live our days as your people, for it is Jesus' coming that we celebrate, and it is through his name that we lift our prayers, for he is indeed our Christ, the Prince of Peace. we pray together the words that he taught his disciples praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our second reading for today comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. In the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet of Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all of the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We're continuing here today with our Advent sermon series called Prepare the Way. The season of Advent is upon us and is set before us to prepare the way for Christ to come again into our life. These seasons are in these weeks that are set before us of hope and peace and joy of love are here to guide us and prepare us for God's love to break in our life anew. Last week, we lit the candle of hope. This week, the candle of peace is shining here in our midst. And as much as this is a busy season for all of us in life and work and school and home, as much as we spend so much time out shopping, buying gifts for loved ones, cooking, as much as we spend so much time giving to others in this season, we are called to also work on the inside of our life. To look internally, to see the things that are written on our heart, and create the space for Christ to be born in that space again this season. And as much as we would like to jump right into Christmas, Advent, the season of Advent, makes us wait. And makes us wait and be prepared for Christ to come. And so that's where we are here today. And so the scripture that comes before us here today is from the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark. And so what we heard is exactly Mark chapter 1, verse 1. And so when the scripture was read, maybe you noticed something. In fact, maybe you noticed that whenever this was read, something was missing. It's like if you look in your home, maybe you look in the church, and you look at all the variety of nativity scenes that are all around us in life that help us picture what it was like in the manger whenever the birth of Jesus took place. There are things that we've come to expect in those manger scenes. Like we know the usual cast of characters, and we know where they are supposed to be. We know about Joseph and Mary being front and center, and like the shepherds off to one side, they're still basking in the glow of having experienced the multitude of the heavenly hosts of all those angels. They have kind of like a dazed and like a shocked look on their face. We will hear about their story coming up on Christmas Eve. In our nativity scenes, the wise men are there too. They're always off to the opposite side, and we don't hear their story until Epiphany Sunday coming up on January 6th. But the wise men in our nativities are worn out, and they're tired from making the long journey following the star all the way to Bethlehem. And so our nativity scenes have like a usual cast of characters. Sheep and oxen and straw and like a little barn-type shape manger thing. When we think about the birth of Jesus and what it looks like, that is what it looks like. But maybe you noticed that at the beginning of Mark's gospel today, there was none of that. None of that was there. No manger, No donkey, no shepherds, not even Joseph and Mary, making the long trip from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. There is none of that. In fact, in the way that the Gospel of Mark tells the story, he begins like some messenger who comes running into the scene completely out of breath and just starts talking. No backstory, no context, just like dumps off all the exciting information that they cannot keep quiet. And it's almost like he begins in the middle of a story. I mean, maybe it's like that whenever your kids or grandkids come running into their house and they slam the door behind them and they slam it so hard it almost breaks all the windows in your house. They come running in out of breath, and as soon as they walk in, they begin talking 6 million miles an hour. They just start talking as fast as they can. And they jump into this tale about a backyard football game that was just taking place. And they tell you that they were going deep for a pass and they didn't think they could catch it. But then they were like 11 lords leaping and they leapt and they caught the ball. And then they keep on going. And finally you're like, stop, start over. I have no idea what you're talking about. It's like that today in the Bible. Mark 1, verse 1 simply says, the beginning of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's written in the prophet Isaiah. A messenger will come ahead of you. He'll be a voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. That's it. No manger, no shepherds, no Mary, Joseph, none of that. No straw, nothing, just the beginning. And the person we meet is John the Baptist. He shows up, he's like the scruffy, like hard-looking, hard-living kind of dude. He's wearing this camel's hair coat. He's eating a very delicious diet of locusts and wild honey. And he's baptizing people for the repentance and forgiveness of sins. And the gospel says that people were so attracted to him, they were coming to him in droves, not just from the big city of Jerusalem, but all the other small towns. People wanted to know what this John the Baptist was like. And when they come, they hear his message. Not look how great I am, but look how great somebody else is, John the Baptist says. He's so powerful, I'm not even worthy to bend down and tie his shoes. I baptize you with water, but he'll come with the Holy Spirit. Something bigger and better is coming, and I'm simply here to prepare the way. And so in all the ways that we would expect to get ready for the nativity and the birth of Jesus Christ, this way may be one that maybe we don't expect. No manger, no shepherds, no wise men, only John the Baptist pointing the way. Now this message comes to us today in the second Sunday of Advent, in the Sunday that we heard is Peace Sunday. And so we meet John the Baptist in the light of Peace Sunday. And so it begs the question, like, what do we make of this? Like, what do we make of all of this, John the Baptist baptizing people in the river today? Like, even further, like, if we had to define what peace is about, I bet you we could define it 1,000 different ways. I mean, sometimes we say that peace means the end of wars, the end of violence, the end of conflict, people living together in harmony. Like, that is what peace may define like for us. I mean, maybe remember like in the very beginning of the book of Acts, when the disciples were first building the church, the Bible says that everybody who believed in Jesus held everything in common. They taught the faith and they shared everything they had, and there was not a need to be found among anyone. And it sounds wonderful from our end. It sounds peaceful. And you can imagine the disciples standing around a campfire singing kumbaya and dancing in circles. I mean, it sounds so lovely and so wonderful. I mean, peace may be that. Peace is that. But it's more than that. It's more than that with John the Baptist before us today. You see, you and I, all of us together, are really good at holding on to things tightly. And not just things, holding on to people and time tightly. Last week, if you were here in the sermon, we joked that we are very good at hanging on to Christmas ornaments and lights and decorations for years, that even if we have not used them for years, we cannot bear to part with them, and so we will hang on to them tightly. They will live in boxes inside of our basement for years on and to come because we cannot bear the thought of parting with them. I mean, it is that, and it is those things, but it's not just those things. We hold on to people. And we hold on to time is because we worry about change and what may happen into the future. And we even get nostalgic about what seemed to be easy times from days gone by when life seemed to be slower and maybe life seemed to be easier in those days. There are even times when we can wax poetic for hours about how back in those days we seemed to have no trouble at all, even though days gone by had troubles and had hard times, and they seemed to be insurmountable in that time, we still look back fondly and think, oh, wasn't life so great? We still worry and stress about the unknown and what may happen tomorrow. We've even heard Jesus ask us directly, how many hours are we going to add to our life by worrying? We know the answer is always 0 hours added to our life. We've even heard the research that if we worry and stress, we're going to take away hours from our life. That's going to make our life worse, but that does not stop us from worrying so much. We have a hard time letting go of what might be and could be, and what once was in the past. And we carry around old mistakes and tired old burdens, and we lug them because we can't seem to drop them. At times, it feels like we are holding so many things in life. It's almost like we're trying to put the dishes away from the dishwasher, every plate and fork and spoon and glass all the time in one fell swoop. And so we're trying to hold them all and carry them all and put them where they're supposed to go. And people offer help so we don't break any of the dishes. And we're like, no, I'm doing fine on my own. I can make it and carry every single thing. We know this is our habit and tendency in life. And so what if on Peace Sunday, instead of holding on to life so tightly, we try to let our grip go a little bit? Not let everything go, but just unclench our hand for a bit. I mean, the word for peace in the Hebrew means shalom. And shalom, in addition to peace, also means wholeness. And so if something is made whole in life, then you have to presuppose that at one time it was broken. And so to me and for me and for us on Peace Sunday, I think whenever we hear John the Baptist standing on the bank of the River Jordan, baptizing people for those repentance and forgiveness of sins, and he's saying there is one who's going to come after me, he's even more powerful than I am, what he's saying is that this is not the end of the story. Because there's always someone coming more powerful in Jesus Christ. To me, that's the good news that we hang on to. And that's what peace is about for us. We can loosen our grip in life and not hang on so tightly. Because we can trust in the peace of Jesus Christ that surpasses all of our wisdom and knowledge and it passes all of our understanding. We can have peace that even though life may fall apart, even though we may break every dish that comes out of the dishwasher, there is one who comes after us that is with us and for us and makes us whole when life breaks down. That's the good news to hold on to forever. That we don't have to carry our burdens forever. That having faith means letting go and trusting in the peace of God. Let us pray. O loving, gracious God, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the peace and the hope that he gives us each and every single day. We pray, O God, that as the gathered body of Christ here now in this space, that your peace would set upon us once again. Help us, O God, to hold on to life a little more loosely so we can follow you more closely. Help us to know that he is the one who comes to show us how to live life in your name. And so help us, O God, to follow Christ in all that we do. Help us to love and serve and teach and share life like he did. We offer our lives to you, O God, knowing that at times we are broken too, and we need you to make us whole once again. We know that you can and that you will, and for that we give thanks and praise. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.